Welcome to the Practical Church Revitalization Podcast. We look at revitalization in real time, examining the ups and downs of revitalizing and replanting historic and legacy churches throughout New England and the U.S. Now here's your hosts.
Okay, welcome to the Practical Revitalization Podcast. I am your host, Don McKinnon, pastor of Legacy Church in Sutton, Massachusetts. And today we are going to talk about something I have termed the grass is greener syndrome. This is something all pastors, including myself, have had a battle over the years, which is when we look at things at more successful churches and we tend to think that there is nothing wrong there. Why can't we? We play what I've termed the what-if game, which is when we sit there and we say, what if we had this? What if we had that? What if this person never left? What if this person started to attend our church? Different things we play. Sometimes the what-if game is good if we are trying to establish something and we're working within boundaries, we're working within a meeting situation, and we're trying to get the thoughts flowing. But in many cases, within the grass is greener syndrome, it can become something that more or less aggravates us. Now, why would we talk about the grass is greener syndrome? And one of the things that we can point out is, you know, we look at those churches that are more successful, possibly the larger church down the street from you, and you're looking at them and you're like saying, that's a great church, why can't we do this? I'll give you an example why, when it comes to the grass is greener syndrome, we need to understand this is a false belief that the successful church has no issues. That's what I'm terming for the grass is greener syndrome. And now what that means is we sit there and we look at these churches that seemingly have all the pieces, all the bells, all the whistles. Everything they touch becomes gold. They've got the Midas touch, if you will. But what happens is we don't understand the deeper lying issues within those churches. A case in point is several months ago, I was talking with a pastor who has quite possibly been there for a portion, maybe not fully in what we would say is an envious thing, but definitely was thinking, well, this church comes in and they do all this stuff and it's going to harm my church, it's going to harm this church, it's going to harm that church. And when they came to find out that the campus that had opened almost 2 years ago in their area was actually now closed, they were surprised, you know, because this church, that was the third campus of this one particular church, and they were surprised to hear that it was closed. And come to find out that this church is not doing as well as a lot of people thought. This is a church that is a larger church. We here at Practical Revitalization have termed churches mini-megas. Dr. Rayner began terming them as small megas or mid-megas. And that was the thing. This was one of those churches where it fit that category. But then when you sit there and you find out that it's not even in that category now, would not fit in that category right now, you begin to slowly, I hope you're understanding this point right now, you know, you would begin to slowly understand that the grass is greener syndrome gives us these false beliefs that things are going good, that the larger church has no issues. Well, Yeah, it does. The larger churches do have issues. If you think that a smaller church is just a smaller microcosm of what a larger church is, then you're going to have to understand that whatever the issues that the smaller church is dealing with, there are larger issues or similar issues going on within the larger churches. So, you know, this is what we have to come to understand, is that all churches have issues. Now, larger churches, I'll give you one easy point. Here's the thing. If you're in a revitalization, most likely you're not paying a mortgage. Most likely. I say that caveated because I know that there are churches that are slightly newer, that have declined. Churches that were successful 10, 20 years ago and have 20, 30-year mortgages and not doing too well and wondering if they're going to be able to pay off that mortgage. I understand that. But if you're in an older church, like in New England, we have churches that are 100, 200, 300, even 400 years old. Those churches do not have mortgages, usually. Those churches have paid off their mortgage. And so the thing that these churches end up dealing with is deferred maintenance, which becomes an issue and a hassle all to itself. But we can sit there and we can look at the larger churches thinking that, hey, you know, they've got the size, they've got the people, they're able to pay their mortgage and everything else. But as those churches experience decline, we look at the current economic situation here in the U.S. where we have inflation and we have all sorts of wacky stuff going on with job markets. Some job markets now, I'm hearing the latest figures where more and more people have applied for unemployment. So we've got to kind of see where the inflation could lead to a recession, which, you know, depending on who you're listening to right now, we are or are not in. And so that case in point means that giving is going to go down because people are going to be worried. People are going, you know, people right now have to keep food on the table and a roof over their heads. And with all that going on, we know that there are going to be issues. And so a lot of churches have seen a downturn in giving. Not all churches, but many churches. I'll say that. Many churches have seen a downturn in giving. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean for churches that are trying to keep the course, you know, steer the course, keep going with everything that's going on? Well, those larger churches are going to begin to see that hit. And if they have their mortgages, now they're wondering how they're going to pay the mortgages. We see the mortgage rates are rising. So you can see where there is a lot of stuff that you may not be thinking of there. So for the blessing for this side, for a smaller church, a church in revitalization, is that they are able to be blessed by not having to worry about that. Now, like I said, the caveat is deferred maintenance, but this is the thing that we see, and something we have to keep in term. Another thing is staffing issues. Now, within smaller churches, I know the big thing becomes volunteers. And that actually is also something I've heard and seen going on in larger churches too, where larger churches are trying to get people. One of the big things we've heard about is children's ministry crisis, where right now it seems like nobody wants to volunteer with kids. I know you're going to be sitting there saying, but Jesus says, suffer not the little children to come to me. Right, but, you know, here's the thing. When, you know, Miss Margaret has been the one helping the kids for 20-some-odd years, she's going to reach a breaking point and she wants to have a rest. Within the larger churches, you see that same thing going on, where even though you might see a church that's about 100 people, 120 people, they're still struggling. They're trying to get the parents to volunteer. And the thing is, a lot of families, and I'm gonna say this has to go back to discipleship, I think. A lot of families need to understand that if they take and they volunteer, so let's say that there's 12 families involved with one particular church that have kids in the children's ministry, and we're not going to break it among groups. We're going to say, you know, this church is not breaking it up into like 3, 4, 5 separate groups. If you have 12 families, you have one family that's volunteering, or let's say one member of each family volunteering, what ends up happening is you see that, you know, every 6 weeks somebody is then coming back. So for a month and a half, you're up in worship, and then you have to come back and volunteer. And that is the one thing. One thing we hear from parents is that they want to be involved. They want to have their church service, you know, not the church service, but they want to be in the church service. They want to be learning. And in some ways that may seem selfish, but, you know, one thing we tend to forget is that the old days people volunteered on a weekly basis. They were there no matter what. They were there like the post office, you know, neither rain nor sleet nor snow nor hail can keep us from our rounds. And when we think about that, we have to remember that if that is the mindset of a lot of people, that that's what volunteerism. And let's be honest, if we look at certain Christian films out there, even if they're playing it up for laughs, like in a comedic sense, but the Christian films don't always play out children's ministry as great. You know, we see the pastor's wife getting chased around by the kid with the glue gun and all sorts of stuff. You have people watching those movies, and then you're sitting up there saying, we need volunteers. They're going to sit there and go, I ain't volunteering because I just saw this movie. I saw what goes on in there. So we got to do better at recruiting. We got to do better at all sorts of stuff. But we've got to do better at showing the need and showing that how volunteers, if we have so many volunteers, you're on a rotation. And if every 6 weeks, every 12 weeks, which when you think of it, if it's every 12 weeks, now you're looking at once every 3 months. So you're looking at quarterly, you're in there teaching, you know, 4 times a year. So we got to think about this stuff. But that is one of the things when it comes to these issues. Other issues would be staffing issues. Worship team. One of the biggest things we've seen in our area over the last several years is there is a worship leader shortage. Many of the larger churches will have, you know, two teams, maybe three teams, and there's not enough people to lead going out and you know, creating a whole team of people to lead, much less one person. So that's what we see. We're seeing these issues, and that's basically even going into the larger churches now, where a few larger churches now are having the issues of not just trying to supply people for the kids ministry, but also music team and other ministries. Youth group is another ministry where there is a lack of volunteers going on. So, again, it becomes a thing of praying Matthew 9, 38 or Luke 10, 2, which is praying for the laborers to help with the harvest. And that's what we got to do. We got to be praying for God to send us volunteers. One of my prayers personally is praying for the church, but also praying that when God sends us people who feel a tug of the Spirit to our church, we're praying that God is going to send us people who are going to fit in, fit the needs that we have here at Legacy Church. So be praying like that right now. Last thing I want to point out for us is some churches have a housing issue. Now, this goes not pastoral housing, even though that is becoming an issue right now. There are some areas that are so expensive to live in that need church plants that the pastor and their wife, you know, their spouse cannot afford to live in the area that they feel a church plant needs to happen. So that becomes a whole separate issue. What I'm talking about, the housing issue, and I'm saying that in quotes, air quotes, housing issue, is churches that don't have homes. You look at some of the larger churches out there, and I don't know about the South, but up here in the Northeast, we have a high number of churches that are renting spaces either in malls or plazas, even factory warehouse type issues. And that becomes a big thing when it comes to that space. Another thing is if you're, that actually becomes a whole separate issue. I'm going to leave that part alone. That's another thing that I would talk about for a later date. But I'm going to say this. We look at these churches with these housing issues. Recently, one pastor pointed out to me, didn't realize this as I was driving this route, that when I lived 50 miles away from our current church and would drive here, there was a bowling alley. All of a sudden, the bowling alley is now occupied the home of a church. It's no longer a bowling alley, but it's the home of a church. But this church, actually, I had visited several years ago with the staff of the church plant I was on, and this was like a dream casting of our pastor who wanted us to see this church and see how that could be our church. And this church was in a warehouse. It had a good size area for worship, good size meeting area. Now it's in this smaller area. Now what I mean by this is, there might be, it might be a pastor who looked at that church, saw that church, knew that their church is going through all sorts of things. Who knows? Maybe that church had attracted some of their former members to begin attending. And as that happens, you begin to build up a resentment. You know, you're kind of like saying, maybe the grass is greener on that side. You know, we're sitting there saying, maybe the grass is greener over there. But we don't realize that there are some things. Now, I don't know myself personally what led to that church having the housing crisis, but I do know of other churches that I've seen where that happened, and either it closed the church in the long run or other things happened. And we need to be aware of that, especially smaller churches. We shouldn't be gloating. Let me preface this. Don't gloat about that sort of stuff. It's wrong to gloat. It's a sin, I believe, to gloat over it. You may not agree with the methodology of the church, what the church is doing, but you're both on the kingdom mission, and you need to understand that. So when you see this, be in prayer. When you find out that there's a housing issue, maybe even open up your church. If the church isn't so big, you know, that you can sit there and house the church on a Saturday, maybe, you know, offer that, do it. Because you don't know what's going to happen, what kind of partnership you're going to develop, but do the Christian thing, you know. But don't gloat about it. Remember, even though Paul had the people, I think it's in Colossians or Philippians, that were, I think it's Philippians, where they were preaching the gospel under other pretenses, Paul still celebrated that the gospel message was getting around. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to do that. So don't gloat. There's a lot of issues we can go on with the grass is greener scenario, syndrome here. But I want you to understand this, that this is something we can fall into. This is something we can fall into a false dichotomy. And honestly, it really is a sin, because we begin to covet what others have. We begin to get jealous. We allow all sorts of sins to come in and begin to rule in us and run with us. And we need to stop those things, and we need to begin to really process what is going on, so that we can be on mission for Christ and do what Christ wants for us. So that's going to be it. I'm going to end it right there. So remember, be in prayer for local churches. I've heard this from several pastors, several people over the last few years. We try to do it here on occasion at Legacy, and I need to get back to it myself, but you should say prayers when you're, if you're doing corporate prayer, you should pray for the church down the street. Doesn't matter if they're in the same tribe as you or not, you need to be praying for them. And explain it to your congregation why you're praying for that church. So with that, I'm going to sign off and say goodbye, and pray that this has been a blessing to you. If it has, please like, subscribe, pass it on, share, leave a comment on iTunes. That will get it around more. This is not about building up a brand around me. This is about building up a network, which I know there exists. I know that there are guys out there listening to this who have encouraged me, sent me letters, especially when I was wondering if I should continue on. But if this has been an encouragement for you, please leave a comment on iTunes and like and all sorts of things, just so that we can get this information out and help others. So God bless, and I'll talk to you later.